Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Experience doesn't always translate to skill, you know, and we see this a lot in the bedroom, where men who have had sex a lot still don't know what the fuck is going on, because it's not the amount that you've had sex, it's the kind of listener you are. This guy sounds really attentive and caring and thoughtful. So I imagine that that kind of energy also translates to the bedroom. I'm sure he's probably awesome in bed. And I'm telling you right now that there are plenty of people who have had significantly more sex than this guy who are way worse in bed than he is. What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the weekly slumber party for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck, who is celebrating something today on this fine Thursday, July 10th, 2025. Today is a very significant day to me, a day that honestly probably only comes second to my birthday in terms of days that are important to me. As a single person, there are no anniversaries, really, that I get to celebrate besides my own birthday. We get holidays, we get a birthday, but single people don't get any extra random days to celebrate, except for me. Except for me, I do, and that day is July 10th, and it is, I mean, honestly, it is a celebration of my longest standing relationship, really, which is my relationship with my creativity, aka the day that I made my YouTube channel. 15 years ago, July 10th, 2010, I was in my basement making a music video to Dollhouse by Priscilla Renee, and that video would soon be uploaded to my old YouTube account. And the rest is really history. I remember, like, I had so many YouTube accounts before that point, but that was the first time that I was like, this is my thing. It's for me. I want to make these videos. I feel like all the other YouTube accounts I had before were always like me and my friends doing skits or, you know, random things. It was never serious. July 10th, 2010, it was serious to me. So today's my YouTube anniversary. And I always get so sentimental and emotional when this day comes around, because when I say this is the most longstanding and most significant relationship I've ever had in my life, it's the truth. I always say that the two most consistent parts of me are my love of YouTube and my love of Lady Gaga. These are two things about me that have stayed the same for the majority of my life. So this day, it's for me, baby. July 10th, 2010. 15 years of sharing my creativity with the world. And how special is that? My longest and most significant relationship. And I wouldn't change a goddamn thing. Speaking of relationships, I made an observation recently going through Hinge that I am not happy about, and I need to talk about it with the class. I've been having a good little wind down routine recently. I've been hitting a lot of Vanderpump Rules, obviously, some Love Island UK. I've got a new iPhone game that I'm playing. Obviously, you guys know I love my dumb little iPhone games. We were hitting Nutsort for a while. Yes, we were. Then we graduated to Bus Escape. Then we graduated to Screw Sort. And now I'm done with Screw Sort, and I'm playing Good Sorting, which is exactly what it sounds like. You are literally just organizing groceries on shelves, and there's a timer, and you have to do it fast enough. It's kind of awesome. I love puzzle games with timers. So imagine me the other night. I'm laying in bed watching Vanderpump Rules, hitting a little Good Sort, okay? What a time to be alive. I was born in the right generation. I don't know what the fuck I would have been doing if I couldn't do this. What do you mean there are people who couldn't be 28 years old watching Vanderpump Rules, playing Good Sort? And I'm like, you know what? Let me see what's going on over on Hinge. Haven't really been active over there. Let's see what's going on. Let's see what the people are doing. It's Sunday night. Come on. You know that's the witching hour for Hinge. So I start looking through some profiles, seeing what's going on. And I get to this one profile. And something is just off. Something's not quite right. Looking through the profile, the photos, the prompts. And I realize that half of their photos were AI generated. Not all of them, but half of them. Three of the six allotted photos on their Hinge profile were AI generated. Now, this is not the first time that I've seen someone use AI on their dating profile. I've also seen someone use it with prompts. I'd never seen someone use AI photos for themselves. I've seen people do it on LinkedIn. I've seen people do it on Facebook. I've seen older people do that, mostly. I have not really seen young people, 20-somethings, use AI-generated photos in like a serious way. Like the first example that comes to mind is there's this woman that I used to freelance for who I'm friends with on Facebook still, and she, I don't think that even one of her profile pictures has been a real image of her in the last year and a half. Like that woman changes her profile picture all the goddamn time. It does not look like her. That shit is AI generated as hell. She's always like in a new getup, completely just in a background you've never seen before with your own human eyes. Like she's always that woman is all across the world, okay? She's a globetrotter according to her Facebook profile picture because they're all fucking AI generated looking in 100 different ways. Her Facebook profile also would suggest that she gets like mega plastic surgery, major under the knife at least once a month because she has a new face every time she updates the fucking photo. Okay. I've seen old people do this, but I have never seen a young person think to themselves, you know what would be awesome? If I didn't take a real photo of myself, but instead just uploaded an AI generated photo to my fucking profile. Are we good? Like, I feel like, whatever, you guys are gonna get sick of me because I'm gonna yell about this for literally the next decade. This is what we've locked in for, okay? We've had 15 years of me on the internet so far. Now, here we are. AI is out of control. Guess what? Lock in because this is gonna be me for the next decade, okay? I'm not gonna shut the fuck up about it because this shit is bonkers and some of you need to be shamed about it. What do you mean you're using AI generated photos on your fucking dating profile? That's not you. Hey, that's not you. I don't know if you know this, but that is not a photo of you, right? You might as well have uploaded a fucking drawing that your niece did to your dating profile and been like, look, it's me. Isn't she so talented? Like, that's not you. And we all know that it's you. You think I can't tell? Do you think I don't know? Like, it almost feels insulting to me that they think that people can't tell. It's like, okay, old people can't tell. That's why old people make it their profile picture on Facebook. I think I was just shocked to see someone in their 20s using an AI-generated image on a dating profile thinking that nobody was gonna know. Like, you see older people do that all the time. I don't know. Their vision is going. They have a less of a grasp on what is real versus what is fake on social media. They can't tell what an AI generated image is, so they think that nobody else can either. And a lot of the time, their other people their age actually don't know. I'm that woman that I was thinking of, like on Facebook, her profile pictures, people would always comment on them being like, oh, you are so well traveled. Like, I love this. I can't wait to hear about it, girl. And I just remember seeing all those photos being like, these people like literally do not know that that is a fake image. That she never went on that trip to Morocco, babe. It never happened. She's not in Tuscany with a glass of wine right now. I don't even know if she's ever been there in her whole fucking life. It's AI generated. But like, there's an age cutoff. I don't know what the age cutoff is where you stop being able to identify when something is real versus when it's fake online. But I feel like most young people can look at an AI generated image online and know that it's AI generated. Or even the really good ones where you maybe don't know immediately that it's AI generated, you raise an eyebrow. You're like, wait a minute, let me close one eye. Let's look at this. Squint, zoom in, take some notes here. And then at the end, you're like, no, no, something's wrong with this. So why would you, as a 28-year-old, upload an AI generated image to your dating profile to appeal to other 20 somethings? We know. Hey, quick thing. We know that that is not a real image of you. And beyond my own questioning of like, do you think I'm stupid? Like, it's almost insulting to me when other people upload images like that onto their dating profile. Because I'm like, do you think we're all dumb? Do you think that we're all sitting here like, do, 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 do? Like, I feel insulted that you uploaded that to your profile thinking that we wouldn't clock it. Or maybe you think we would clock it and you think we just don't care. I can't even think about that one because that makes me even angrier. Okay, fine. Go date people that don't care about AI generated images. That makes me ill. That makes me literally fucking ill. Could not be me. But above all of these things, the number one thing it makes me think of is like, you are opting in to body dysmorphia for no fucking reason. Like, this thing that so many of us have struggled with, you are opting into it on purpose. What the fuck? Like, are you not concerned about what the ramifications are of consuming AI-generated photos of yourself and convincing your brain that that is a good representation of who you are? Are you not concerned about that? Because that feels like pretty major. I even like, I think about the Facetune of it all from like a decade ago when I was in college and that was huge. I wish that I could go back and tell all of the teenagers and early 20 somethings that were in college in like 2016, 2017 using Facetune. I wish I could grab them by the shoulders and shake them and be like, please, holy fuck, please fucking don't. But it makes me concerned for teenagers and young people who like don't have that part of their brain developed where you like want to protect yourself, or you see things higher level. You see what the consequences of something are going to be before you actually do it. When you're younger, you don't have a lot of that foresight, right? But then you get older, you have the foresight. So to see people still not care is concerning to me. And it's distressing to me when people use AI for the written prompts as well. Like, if you can't fill out 3 fun facts about yourself at your grown age, then I don't know what the fuck we're going to do. I don't know how the fuck you're going to get through an entire first date if you cannot fill out 3 prompts. Fun facts about yourself, conversation starters. What do you like talking about? Like, if you can't fill that out, I don't think that you should be dating. Like, straight up, I think we got to go back to the drawing board. You got to get to know yourself a little better. If you have to use AI to give you dating app prompt answers. Like, I feel like I'm losing my mind. I feel like I'm losing it. Like, is this not crazy to everyone? If you need to ask ChatGPT what to put in your dating profile, you need to get to know yourself a little bit better. That's bananas. That's bananas. So I'm going to keep calling it bananas for the next decade. And just to put it out there, if you are someone using AI on your dating profile, you are also returning your ability to complain about the state of dating apps or what it's like to date on those apps, because you are definitively making them a shittier experience for everyone. 100%. I don't want to hear it. You don't get to complain about dating apps if you were using AI in your profile. That's it. I'm done talking about this, because if I keep talking about it, I'm going to ruin the rest of my day. It's been a minute since we've done some submissions, so I've got a bunch saved here for myself and figured we could just go through and see what the hell is going on in the world of the lover girls. Hey Maddie, I love your advice and wanted to hear what you had to say on this situation I'm going through right now. I've started dating this very sweet guy who says and does all typical gentlemanly things, from carrying my bag to planning dates. But most importantly, as I've gotten to know him, he's been so open and honest with his feelings and his excitement towards us seeing each other. We get along easily, and I could see myself having a true long-term relationship with him. But I feel like I'm getting the ick, since I learned that he's only had sex twice prior to me. It makes me worry about having to teach him what to do and if I'll be able to communicate what I like slash don't like well to him in the bedroom. I also find it hard to not view him as almost younger slash more inexperienced than me since learning this, which is what I think is at the core of this icky and panicky feeling. The physical ways we've explored have honestly been enjoyable, and everything outside of the bedroom has been great. I worry that this is more of a me problem and would love advice on how to approach, as I really want to put this feeling aside and keep dating him. Yeah, and you should put this feeling aside and keep dating him, because it does sound like self-sabotage to some degree to be like, well, this guy has only had sex twice before me, so he's more inexperienced than me, and so therefore we shouldn't date. Like, for why? I'm sure I've said this before on the show, but experience doesn't always translate to skill, you know? And we see this a lot in the bedroom, where men who have had sex a lot still don't know what the fuck is going on, because it's not the amount that you've had sex. It's the kind of listener you are, the kind of partner you are, the way that you show up as a giver and receiver in sexual dynamics. This guy sounds really attentive and caring and thoughtful, so I imagine that that kind of energy also translates to the bedroom. I'm sure he's probably awesome in bed. And I'm telling you right now that there are plenty of people who have had significantly more sex than this guy, who are way worse in bed than he is, because they are not good listeners, they are not thoughtful, they are not giving, they are nothing of the sort, okay? I don't believe that having experience in the bedroom is even on the list of like the top 50 most important things when dating someone new. Number one, for what I just said. Number two, because I think that you have to kind of relearn what works and what feels good with every single partner. I don't even know why you would want to skip that part. That's like one of the best parts. It's like figuring out what feels good and what works and what you like and what you don't like with each individual partner. Like, you could be in a relationship with someone who's had sex so many times before having sex with you. Let's say they were in a long-term partnership, had sex with one person for a long, long time. And the way that this person enjoyed sex is totally different than the way that you enjoy sex. You are gonna have to communicate and learn and teach each other what feels good regardless of experience level. That's just kind of part of having a new partner, being intimate with someone new. And that's kind of an awesome thing. I don't know why you wouldn't want to do that with someone. I think the idea of experience being something that really matters in a relationship is a falsehood. It's not experience, it's listening. If you're a good listener, you can be great in the bedroom. That's all it is, really. You've got a moldable brain and you're a good listener, guess what? You'll be totally fine. This guy sounds awesome. I think any kind of ick development because he has had less sex than you have is just shooting yourself in the foot. It's self-sabotage. And yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with him. And I think it has everything to do with you. So don't do that. Don't end things with him just because he's had less sex than you have had in life. That's fine. It means next to nothing. So is he a good listener? Is he a good learner? Check and check. That's all that matters, people. Off topic, but this submission did make me think of it. The time that I was dating someone who was very like gentlemanly and did these kinds of things, there was something that he did that I had never heard of before until I met him. And to be honest with you, I've decided it's one of these like gentlemanly things that I don't like. But he wouldn't let me walk on the outside of the sidewalk, like the side closer to the cars. If we were walking down the street together, I always had to walk on the inside and he was on the outside. I'd never heard of that before. I think it's incredibly common. So I think I was just out of the loop. But I remember being so confused because I think when we were walking down the street with each other, it was probably like our second or third date. And we kept like crossing the street and we were walking all over the place and he kept like moving me around. And I thought he was being rude, to be honest with you. I'm like, why do you keep telling me where the fuck to walk? I can walk wherever I want it, because I'd never heard of this before. So when I found out that it was like a thing afterwards, I was like, oh, he was trying to be like gentlemanly and kind. Whereas I thought that he was just being a fucking loser about it. I thought he was nitpicking me and being like, no, don't stand there, stand here. No, I want to stand here. Why? You're in my way. Like, I thought he was being an asshole, to be honest with you. I was like, why the fuck is he telling me where the fuck to walk? I know how to walk, brother. I'm good. Yeah, I don't think I like that one. I get it, and also I just don't think it's for me. But it was funny to think back on the time, the first time it happened to me. And I fucking thought he was being an asshole because I'd never heard of that before. Now I'm like, okay, you're not being an asshole. It's just like a little too old timey for me. You know, like, what's the fear that if a car is driving onto the sidewalk, we're both toast anyways. So I don't think it fucking matters. We're standing right next to each other. I don't know what the difference would be. I think it maybe if it really mattered to someone that I'd be like, fine. But yeah, I don't think that's one of the gentlemanly things that I just don't need. Hi, Maddie. I'm sending my love to you and Mango, and I hope your trip to Greece was lovely and amazing. I'm wondering, how do I relish in my newfound confidence while maintaining a healthy ego? My life has been treating me really well lately. I finally started my full-time job after 10 months of applying. I spend so much time with some of the most wonderful friends I've ever had, feel very in touch with my queerness, and I've also started woodworking, which has really unlocked something magical in my art and creativity. All in all, I've just been bursting with unbridled joy, gratitude, and pride. My confidence has been steadily building in the past few years, but I've definitely hit a peak as of late. And though I try to stay humble, I have noticed my ego has been widening in a way that I don't love. For example, when I'm chatting with someone, I notice that I talk about myself a lot more than normal, and sometimes it takes me a while to remember to return the question and listen. This is especially true when people ask me about my art, but I've even noticed it in a simple, "so how are you doing lately?" kind of way. I've also found myself zoning out in more conversation and thinking about different projects I am working on instead of being more present. Empathy and compassion are such important values to me, and it feels strange to have these parts of myself feel almost less intuitive now, or at least that's the best way I can describe it. I think it might just be a matter of practicing more intention, but I was wondering how you balance confidence and ego, especially in a creative context. My like gut response to this is to say that I would jump to assume you are probably struggling with this less than you think you are, because I think usually people with insanely massive egos that get in the way of connection and communicating with other people are not sitting back at the end of the day going, God, how do I get this shit in check? You know what I mean? Like, I think it's possible that you have just been minimizing yourself for so long that now when you do take up space in a conversation, when you do talk about yourself, when you are comfortable being more of the topic of conversation and sharing that with people, because you are now comfortable doing that, you are almost internalizing it as you're taking up too much space versus you are rightfully taking up space that is allotted for you within a conversation. Now, I think that there are always moments that we can check ourselves and be like, okay, maybe in this specific conversation, I could have been more curious. I could have been more inquisitive. Okay, we were talking a lot about me. Let's jump in here, talk about them. It happens, right? But as long as it's not a habit, then you're fine. You can have a conversation where the conversation is not a complete 50-50 split on who's asking the questions and who's answering the questions. It only becomes a problem if in every conversation that you're in, you're not really contributing much. But like, you're allowed to take the front seat, you're allowed to take the back seat, you're allowed to split the space, to have your moment, to, you know, take your moment to be quieter, whatever it is. Like, you are allowed to take up space, to talk about yourself, to have a dialogue about your creative life without feeling like, oh God, do I need to shut up and let someone else speak? These are good things to think about, right? We want to know the balance between stepping in and stepping out, speaking, letting other people speak, asking questions, yada, yada. But if you're asking yourself this question, I would jump to assume that you're already the kind of person that has a good baseline level of awareness. And I wonder if the things you're feeling right now are more in reaction to you taking up an appropriate amount of space now versus not taking up enough space in the past. But outside of that, to answer your question, I think to want to be a more attentive, thoughtful, intentional friend, or even just stranger in conversation with someone, is always a good thing. To just have a kind of baseline awareness of how much you are contributing to the conversation versus how much you are asking of other people. And again, I don't think that everything has to be 50-50. And also, most of our conversations with people are not interview format, where someone asks us a question and then we respond, and then they ask us another question and then we respond. Like, usually maybe it starts with a question and then I give you an anecdote from my life, and then you give me an anecdote from yours, and then we're mutually talking about this shared topic. Even though it started from you asking me a question, it's now spiraled into something so much bigger than that. Like, I think that most of our conversations are not like just someone asking questions at us and us, you know, throwing back a bunch of things that don't result in more conversation without asking another question. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like it's more rare that you're in a conversation that's just like question, answer, question, answer, question, answer, versus like question that results in a beautiful and rich conversation where we're both sharing personal anecdotes and how it connects to our own lives and going around in a circle like that. And regardless, it's okay to talk about yourself. If someone asks you a question about yourself and you get really into it, that's totally awesome and cool. And also, it's good to be engaged and curious about other people's lives, especially the lives of people that you care about. If you notice yourself being a little bit more distracted in conversation, a little bit more head in the clouds, a little bit more focused on yourself, then yeah, I think you're right to say that I think that it probably is just working on bringing in a little bit more intention to your conversations, especially with close friends. And like, outside of the moments where you're actually in conversation, doing some reflection and some journaling about what it means to be a good friend and how you want to show up in your friendships so that you can be clear with yourself on like your expectations for you when it comes to how you show up for the people in your life. But I would jump to assume that this is probably not as big of an issue as you think it is because you are writing this submission. I think most of the time, people who really have a problem with their egos and not sharing the space of a conversation, sucking all the air out of the room and not letting anyone else have their moment, not showing any curiosity or thoughtfulness towards other people, usually those people are not going home at the end of the day thinking to themselves, oh boy, how do I get this ego of mine in check? And if they are, they're already halfway there to being a more intentional friend and a better listener in these kinds of conversations. So yeah, I think it's all about give and take, learning the balance, and also being easy and gentle with yourself when you don't get that balance 100% correct. Because not all conversations are a complete 50-50. You ask me a question, I ask you a question. You ask you, like, that is so rarely how we communicate with each other. So don't stress about it too much. You have an awareness of it. That's all that matters. And the good news is it's pretty easy to be a more thoughtful and engaged friend when you're clocked into that and pouring intention into it. Hey babes, warning, very messy situation. I'm a gal in her mid-20s who gave up a beautiful life abroad to come home and care for my dying father who just passed of brain cancer 4 months ago. To say the absolute least, my heart is broken and my future feels murky. About a month after he passed, I started a new job at an upscale hotel and immediately noticed that my boss seemed to have a bit of a crush on me. Authority figure kink has been a thing for me in the past, but I never would have made any moves on him because one, you don't shit where you eat, and two, he has a girlfriend. Over the past few months, he has gotten more direct with his flirting, and being that I've been deprived of romantic attention for a long time because of my caretaking situation, it has felt good to be wanted by someone on a light, non-serious level. Or so I thought. A few nights ago, he was laying it on thick, getting really touchy and being extremely forward with his comments. At the end of the night, I had had a few drinks and a hug that he initiated that lasted for entirely too long. We wound up making out in the parking lot. He made things pretty graphic pretty quickly, begging me to let him eat me out and essentially confessing that he has had more serious feelings for me. I kept reminding him that not only is he my boss, but that he also has a girlfriend, although a large part of me did want it to happen. After about an hour of this nonsense, I left. I feel goddamn awful. I've never cheated in my own relationships or been the other woman, and it feels horrible. I feel so bad for his girlfriend, but he says he isn't going to tell her because they only started dating a month before he met me. And we didn't have sex, and for some reason, those things in his brain equal a justification. Yeah, what? He has also said multiple times that nothing is wrong in the relationship, but that his feelings for me are too strong to ignore. Needless to say, he's a loser, and I feel like one too. I know this girl deserves to know that she got cheated on, but if I tell her, it will definitely blow up in my face because she's friends with everyone at our workplace. He's gonna pretend like nothing happened. Obviously, making out with someone's boyfriend isn't a girl's girl move, but I want to make up for it somehow. Is it better to just let him live with the guilt of knowing that he sucks and let him sort it out? Or should I give this girl the info she deserves at the risk of potentially making my workplace unworkable? What would you do? The situation itself, to me, feels very like black and white until you add in the workplace portion of it. And then it becomes a little bit more complicated. But my opinion is still going to largely stay the same here. This guy sounds like such a major fucking loser. Like, for starters, they only started dating a month before he met me. To be cheating on someone, period, is crazy. But it's, like, somehow even crazier when you're at the beginning of a relationship. It's like, you just became not single. You just entered a relationship. Like, you couldn't stay loyal for 30 fucking calendar days. Like, that is, the bar is so low. If you wanted to be single, you could have stayed single. Like, nobody forced you to be in a relationship if you don't want to be in one. It's just like so easily avoidable. Stop entering relationships if you want to fuck around and be single. Like, what? It is so simple and so easy. And this guy just sounds like a mega fucking loser. For him to openly tell you that he isn't going to tell her because of that and because you guys didn't have sex and therefore it's not actually that bad. He just doesn't seem like the kind of person that is going to necessarily feel this guilt eating away at him in the way that you are. Like, he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's going to sit at home and slowly this guilt is just going to tear him up inside until he can't take it anymore. Like, I genuinely think that he will just move on with his life as if this has never happened, continue dating her, probably continue to cheat on her with other people. And in his head, it's all totally fine because he doesn't cross these like arbitrary lines he's made up. Like, oh, I didn't fuck someone else. I just made out with them and like emotionally cheated. That doesn't count because it's not like the big thing. I didn't have penetrative sex. Like, the bar just keeps getting pushed. He strikes me as the kind of guy that just, this is how he is. I don't think that guilt is going to be the thing that sticks it to him here. I think that you should tell her. And as someone who has been the other woman unknowingly before, my advice to you is that you need to do the thing that is the most in alignment with your morals and principles, because that is going to be the thing that years down the line you will feel the best about, regardless of what the immediate aftermath, what the immediate consequence to all of this is. Years down the line, you will look back at this and feel better for it. And I say this because when I was the other woman unknowingly when I was 19, I didn't tell the woman. And I have lived to regret that. When it happened again, and I was 21 or 22, I did tell the girlfriend. And it was emotional and it was exhausting and it was not a fun situation to be in, but it was one that at the end of the day, I could feel good about. I felt like I behaved in alignment with my morals and principles and the person that I was. And it tore me up inside. I cried and cried and cried and cried and cried both times when I figured out I was the other woman unknowingly. Because I never want to be the reason why another woman is hurting. And also there was like an element of betrayal to it as well, because it was unknowingly. So I had been lied to as well, and I had been deceived. And the whole thing is just, it's messy, it's horrible, it's terrible, it never feels good. And obviously in your situation, with it being so intertwined with your workplace, it's complicated, right? And I'm sure that you are struggling and dealing with your own kind of processing of what happened, and you're like knowing that he was in a relationship and still moving forward with it. I imagine that you are already feeling guilt and remorse over that aspect of it. And I think that you would just be doubling down on that guilt and remorse if you didn't tell her and you kept this secret for him. I don't think that that's a choice that your future self will look back on and feel good about. I think that, you know, 10 years down the line, hopefully you can look back in this moment and be like, I did something that I shouldn't have. I fucked up. I, you know, made out with my boss who I knew had a girlfriend. And obviously there's a power dynamic at play here. And none of this ever should have happened in the first place, because this is someone who like signs my paychecks, and that's already unbelievably inappropriate. But I'm a grown adult who made a grown adult decision, and it's one that I shouldn't have made. But in the aftermath of that moment, I made informed choices that upheld my morals and principles as a person, so I could feel good moving forward knowing that I had learned something. And that I had, you know, taken something valuable away from this shitty situation. And I think the hard part of this whole thing is that I don't know if you'll be able to keep your job if you come clean about all this and tell their girlfriend. That might be, you know, the end of this position. And that's not something I say lightly, because that is complicated, which is why I think this requires a lot of thinking and reflecting and like plan making for what the aftermath of this could be. Because if you have to start job hunting again, like that's no small feat. That's no small process. Perhaps you should job hunt before coming forward with this piece of information. I don't know. Always an option. I think you should probably also get HR involved, because your boss should not be acting like this, should not be putting you in that kind of position in the first place. Yes, you're both adults, and also that's your boss. Your boss should not be intertwining themselves with employees in that way. But if I were you, I would probably choose to tell the girlfriend. And yeah, your coworkers might see you differently. But I think that it is more important that you maintain a good relationship with yourself than maintaining a good reputation in the eyes of other people. I think that you should do whatever you need to do to live in alignment with your highest self, to live in alignment with your morals and principles, and be happy with the person that you are. Whatever you need to do that, you should do. I can't tell you what that is. I can tell you what it would be for me. I can't tell you what it is for you. So I would do some reflection on what it is that would make you feel the best about yourself and how you've showed up. But I do feel for you, because it is incredibly complicated to have this happen in a workplace situation. And it sounds like you understand that what happened was wrong, so I don't have to tell you. And I hope you have a good support system around you to help you process all of that on your own as well. Hi, Maddie. For such a long time, I've identified with being a lover girl. I've kind of been obsessed with the idea of romantic love from day one. I had my first crush when I was 5 and never stopped having a crush on at least one person from then on until I graduated college and stopped being in such close proximity with people my age all the time. I love rom-coms, cheesy love songs, and have really always wanted a long-term relationship. All of this to say, at 28 years old, I thought that I would be ready for a long-term relationship, or that the beginning of one would feel easy and intuitive. But now I'm starting something serious with someone. It doesn't feel like that at all, and I feel such sadness and confusion. I'm starting to date one of my closest friends, someone who I've had real feelings for months, someone who I've talked to all my friends about, someone who I just really liked. But it's almost as if as soon as we started being official, all of these doubts started to enter my mind. Like, do I really like them? Is this person a good match for me? Do our lifestyles fit together? And I started analyzing my feelings when I'm with them too. Like, do I even feel romantic towards this person, or is it just platonic? Why don't I feel so sure that I like them the way I did when this was just a crush? I feel like I'm so in my head about these questions that I'm not even being present and myself when we're together, which makes me doubt our compatibility altogether. Trust me, I know I sound like the asshole in the situation right now, and the voice in my head certainly is one, but I know I didn't just like the idea of this person because they were my friend and I really did know them. And the fact that my feelings changed quite literally within a week tells me that this is something about me and not her. So I don't want to listen to this voice. I want to work through those feelings and not let myself get in my own way. So my primary question is, has anyone else felt this way? Are these feelings work throughable? Are these signs that this isn't the right person for me, or am I just a lot more emotionally avoidant than I thought I was? I have to admit that in casual dating, I have always been the person to pull away first. Deep down, I'm scared that if this is how I feel with someone that I used to really like, that I'm just not capable of romantic love at all. Well, for starters, you're absolutely capable of romantic love. We can cross that off the concern list right off the bat here. And I also think this is probably way more common than you would think it is. I think that oftentimes we are sold this image of what it is going to feel like to find your person, to start a relationship for the first time, to have butterflies, to be in the honeymoon phase. Like, we're sold this image of what it has to look like. And then if it doesn't look like that, or we feel differently about it, then we start to question it all together. And we're like, well, are we compatible? Do I even like them? Like, I think I like them. That's why I am dating them. That's why I want to be with them. But why don't I feel the way I thought I would feel? And I think a lot of it comes down to, like, people are searching for butterflies. They're searching for this feeling in their gut that feels, I don't know, intense. And like, these feelings are palpable and all consuming. And a lot of times you do feel that way when you have a crush. And then maybe when you actually start dating that person, you don't feel those feelings anymore. And that actually is a good thing, because a lot of the time the butterflies and those really intense feelings are not because you like them so much. They're your body's reaction to a lack of information. It's your body's reaction to so many unknowns, to so many question marks, the risk factor that comes with having a crush. But then when you have so much security, so much safety, you feel good about someone, you just feel happy to be around them, happy to be with them. They're a friend of yours, now you're dating, everything's good, everything's sweet, everything's nice. Yeah, some of that intensity and those butterflies maybe do go away, and it's because you're feeling safe. And I feel like this is something I've heard all the time in my 20s, where people will enter relationships where they don't have butterflies and they're like, oh my God, do I not like this person? Like, am I bored? Am I not excited by this? Like, this other person that I used to go out with, I always, you know, my stomach dropped when I was around them. I always felt like my stomach was in knots. And it's like, maybe that's not a great thing past a certain point. You know what I mean? Like, when you have a crush and there's so many unknowns, it makes sense that you would feel that way. And it also makes sense that once you're in a relationship with that person and there's less unknown and you feel safe and secure, that, yeah, maybe some of that intensity, that like butterfly stomach and knots kinds of feelings, they are not present anymore. And it doesn't need to be present. You feel safe. You feel happy. You feel content. You're not feeling super fucking intense about it, and that is okay. And I feel like a piece of dating advice that I've heard from people older than me, from people in their 30s, 40s, is just that butterflies can sometimes be deceiving. And sometimes the calmer relationships, the ones that don't make you feel so loose in your stomach, it's actually just your body responding to feeling security and not like things are up in the air, or you're anxious about something, you're confused, you don't know what the dynamic is, you're not like searching and begging for any kind of additional information or stability because you have it. There's no confusion. You know. And sometimes that knowing makes things a little less exciting if you're so used to chasing after people who are emotionally unavailable, or maybe you have been the emotionally unavailable one, and now you're finding yourself in a situation that is stable and secure with someone, and you want to self-sabotage in a way. Like, I don't know what your specific situation is here, like what all the various possibilities are. But overall, I just want to say that I think that it is okay for the intensity of your feelings to almost feel like it's died down once you've entered a relationship with someone. I don't think that's actually what it is. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's actually that your feelings have died down. I think it's just that you've become more comfortable rather than having almost like an anxious reaction. You've settled in. You feel certain of their feelings towards you. There's no guessing games. There's no pursuing. And sometimes that's the other thing, is people love the chase of it all, the game of it all, the pursuing. And maybe if you've found yourself to be more of the avoidant one in the past, maybe that could be coming up for you now as well. But again, you say like this is a friend of yours that you've had feelings for. They obviously didn't just go away overnight. This is indicative of something different, something larger. And I would tend to agree here. I think that 99 out of 100 times, it is not you magically losing feelings overnight once you enter a relationship. This is something else. Whether it is you struggling with avoidant tendencies or if it's just you feeling safe and not having to worry or guess or chase after someone, if it's just calm and comfortable, and if that in itself feels scary and unfamiliar, that's also fine too. I think this is incredibly common, actually. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense why once you enter a relationship, the way you feel in your body might change a little bit, whether it is the triggering of old wounds, your attachment style, or you genuinely feeling safe and comfortable for the first time, and that in itself feeling triggering in some way because it feels unexpected and you almost don't trust that it's true, that it's for real, because you're so used to something else. So I don't know what it is, but what I can tell you is that it's totally normal. And I think that more people deal with this than you think. But listen, it sounds like you hit the jackpot. You had a crush on a friend and it ended up working out for the two of you. Now you're together. Like, that's beautiful and wonderful. Enjoy it. Enjoy it, indulge in it, and be gentle with yourself in navigating all the complexities of your emotions and figuring out how differently you may or may not feel throughout this process. And it's okay that you don't have all the answers for this yet. I wouldn't worry about it. So with that, I'm going to throw it on over to the post show over on Patreon. So if you'd like to keep hanging out, if you'd like to keep talking with us, feel free to go join us over at Lover Girls HQ over on Patreon. We've got the extended podcast episode today. I have a lot to talk about when it comes to sex and needing to be castrated, probably. I don't know. Who knows? We'll see. We'll see. Might be a crazy, crazy summer. It won't. Maybe, though. You never know. It is thirst season after all. So we're going to talk about that more over on the Patreon. Thank you guys so much for listening. Love you so much. I'll see you next week's episode.
Okay, it's your truth or dare.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.